Good evening and welcome. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God forever.
Arguably, this is the most beautiful season of the year, Advent. Our annual journey to that wondrous cave in Bethlehem, celebrating and re-witnessing the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. When you think historically, the birth of Jesus is quite literally a journey. Mary and Joseph, bound both by a sense of duty to the law and also by that overwhelming sense of wonder, journey to Bethlehem from Nazareth. And then once in Bethlehem, have to journey around looking for a place where the Messiah can be born. The shepherds journey, shorter distance. They hear the cry of the angels, the voice of that first bit of good news, and they journey to see the wonder, to witness what has happened. The Magi travel the furthest on their journey to honor and worship the new king. Herod's soldiers also journey to find Jesus, but with quite a different motive, to destroy. Throughout our Savior's ministry, people journeyed to Jesus for a variety of reasons. Some just wanted to see the signs. Some wanted to test him. Some, yes, wanted to destroy. Others were looking for what they could get from him. After Jesus feeds the 5,000 families in the wilderness, it says in John's gospel that crowds started to follow him along. And at one point, Jesus turns to the group and says, and I paraphrase, "I know you're only following me because you got free bread. Perhaps you ought to be seeking more eternal things. Perhaps you ought to be seeking the things that never fade away." But most of our stories from the gospel, fortunately, show broken people journeying to Jesus for forgiveness and healing. Over and over again, people come to him, "Heal me, heal my son, heal my daughter, heal my servant." Often for themselves, often for someone they love. And that's where the Savior's light is shining tonight on our journey. We have journeyed here, some far, some near, on icy roads in the dark, in the cold, for healing and for forgiveness. We can start with a gospel lesson prescribed for this service of healing, the healing of the centurion's servant. It has a first level of a physical illness and a physical ailment. In this case, a very serious illness, and that physical disease is healed. And that's the very surface level. But there's this large spiritual dimension going on here as well, multi-layered. The centurion's faith is one of them. According to Jesus, it's the strongest he's ever seen. And this coming from a Roman, from this foreigner. The strongest faith he's ever seen, not even in Israel has he seen such faith. And then you have socioeconomic divisions being healed. What is a centurion doing running out to see this prophet, this healer, on behalf of his slave? When has that ever happened in the history of the Roman Empire, that a centurion would go do that on behalf of his slave? Socioeconomic divisions turned on their head because of the presence of this Jesus. You have race and nationalism starting to be mingled together. This man is a Roman, a centurion no less, this occupying force and the leader of these soldiers, leader of these troops, journeying to the Jewish prophet. Different nation, different race, for healing. And if you read Luke's version, a fair amount of the Jews were actually on the centurion's side. I suspect there were a fair amount that weren't. But there were a fair amount that were. Jesus was bringing out something, and that something was healing all of these spiritual divisions. This encounter also tells us about God. Jesus, being God incarnate, is the only and perfect image of God the Father. Our God is a God of healing. No, it's not always immediate. We heard in the epistle from James that it often takes perseverance and endurance. And no, it's not always even in this age. Sometimes our healing is not going to happen until the age to come, especially with the things that are temporary, the things of the body. But his nature is healing, and anything that is eternal, he will heal. Our eternal journey towards him is a journey not only towards his goodness, not only towards his beauty, not only towards his love, but also towards his wholeness, also towards his healing power. You know, when the centurion said, "Lord, my servant is dreadfully tormented," a lot can be learned from what Jesus didn't say, as well as what he said. You know, Jesus did not say, "Oh, but the Father ordained him to be tormented." Jesus does not say, "It's part of God's plan, just be patient." Jesus does not say, "Everything happens for a reason." What does Jesus say? Jesus says, "I will come and heal him. I will come and heal him." That is the image, the perfect image of God the Father. "My servant is tormented. I will come and I will heal him." Our God is a God of healing. And again, it doesn't mean all healing is instantaneous, but it does mean that the crucified Savior is the Lord of healing, and it is his will that we be made whole, and especially with those things that are eternal, and especially those things pertaining to the Spirit. There's a place in Luke's Gospel where Luke mentions some of the women disciples that were following. It mentions them by name. There's Joanna and a few others. And one of the women mentioned is Mary Magdalene. And it says, it's just almost like an aside, out of whom Jesus cast out seven demons. It doesn't mention what they are. It doesn't mention what happened. And a lot of scholars, a lot of biblical scholars have spent a lot of generations arguing about what those seven demons might have been. And I think if we're arguing or worrying about what those seven demons might have been, I think we're kind of missing the point. The number seven is one of those symbolic numbers in Scripture. Along with 12 and 40, it means fullness. It means completion. And whether you take seven literally or whether you take it in its symbolic glory from Scripture, what it means is that Jesus healed Mary's spirit of everything dark. The point of that number seven being mentioned is about Jesus. It's about what he did. The point of that number seven is that there is no spiritual demon that cannot be healed by our Savior. If it's in there, he'll get it out. If it's in there, it's coming out. That's what the number seven means there. If you have trouble forgiving because pain someone caused you is just too deep, the Lord can get that out. It may not be instantaneous. Sometimes forgiveness is a journey. But it's a journey towards the wholeness of God, the God who is healing himself. If you have trouble confessing because of shame or guilt in you, if that's too great, Jesus can heal it. And yes, sometimes that's a journey too, getting rid of our own sin, unburdening, finally being willing to say, "Boy, that was stupid. I got to get that out." That can be a journey too. There's a sin dragon latched onto your shoulder. The Savior can crush it with his bare hands like he does in C.S. Lewis's Great Divorce. If there's a division among your friends or in your family or in your community or among your coworkers or any group that you're associated with, those divisions can be very painful and very dark because they're usually with people that we at least at one time had a relationship with and maybe still do. Well, the Holy Spirit can fill that place with light. And maybe, just maybe, the light that is now in you will spread to others. But even if it doesn't, that light is a gift to you that will not be taken away. Maybe you or a loved one, part of your journey involves mental illness. Maybe anxiety or depression or addiction or any number of things. Well, our Father did not foreordain that person to be tormented. That was not his plan. That's the brokenness of the world. Our Father's plan is redemption. Our Father's plan is wholeness. And our Father's plan is to say, "I will come and heal him." And yes, maybe it's going to be a journey rather than a moment. But that's the nature of God. "I will come and heal him." Maybe your very faith is being challenged. Maybe it's being challenged by life. Maybe it's being challenged by what you see on the news. Maybe it's being challenged by circumstances in your own life. Maybe it's being challenged by a nagging sense of doubt. Well, Jesus, only Jesus, is more than happy to introduce you to the God who is worthy of your faith. Sometimes that doubt is simply because we have the wrong impression of God in our minds in the first place, and that wrong impression doesn't deserve our faith. Sometimes it's simply because we need to be introduced to the God that Jesus reveals. And perhaps your spirit is on a journey of grief. loss of a loved one, broken heart from a relationship, sufferings of this world, all of those can cause deep grief. And tonight we will particularly offer to God the grief of those who have lost a child, whether that child was born or that hidden grief of miscarriage. This Jesus of ours is the compassionate Lord, compassionate frequently to the point of tears, that when he saw death, consoled the grieving to the point of life. Mary Magdalene was healed of 7 demons. And that means there is nothing dark in you that can't be healed. A lot of people journeyed to see Jesus for a lot of reasons, both as his nativity and throughout his ministry. The same is true today. People are looking for Jesus. People are looking for God with all kinds of motives, all kinds of reasons. My prayer is that your journey be for forgiveness and healing of all things eternal. Amen.